Good morning, everyone. Good to see everyone this morning. I want to continue talking this morning, actually through the month probably, about spiritual blessings. We started on that last Sunday out of Ephesians when Paul said we've been blessed with spiritual blessings, blessed in the heavenly realms. And I pointed out, you know, I've heard a lot of preaching about physical blessings, and I believe God does bless his people physically. But I believe that we need to focus more on the spiritual blessings that he gives us. Those are more important to me than the physical, just to be honest with you. God has done so much for us. Greg pointed out at the table, last time he served at the table, that the cross means so much more than we realize at times. And God has done so much more for us than just forgive us. That's important. We've been forgiven of our sins and reconciled to him. I like the way Max Lucado said it. God accepts you just as you are, but he has no intention of leaving you that way. So he's provided us with spiritual blessings through the Holy Spirit. And our text this morning is going to be in Romans chapter 8, 25 through 30. As I say, I'd like to spend the rest of the month speaking about spiritual blessings. Today we're going to talk about the blessing of the Holy Spirit, life in the Holy Spirit. Paul writes, and the Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them the right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for all that have come out this morning to worship you and praise you. I just pray a special blessing on them. Father, I pray this morning you'll be with the family of Charlie Kirk, that you will bring them through this terrible tragedy, Lord. We know that he is in your presence, for your word says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But I pray for those that he left behind. I pray for the young man that's accused of shooting him, that, Lord, somebody will be able to get to him and share the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ. Because I know it's not impossible for you to change anyone's heart. I ask that you increase and that I would decrease in this passage, Lord, and that you would take this to our hearts and encourage us. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're first introduced to the Spirit of God, who is called the Holy Spirit, in the book of Genesis. It's written, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. This is the very same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that God has promised to those who repent and come to him through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Now, the King James says the Comforter. And I've had people take exceptions with different translations because, well, they didn't say Comforter. Dr. James Strong, who wrote the exhaustive Greek and Hebrew concordance, says that this word meaning comforter means a counselor, an intercessor, an advocate, and a comforter. It can be translated in either way anyway, and it doesn't change the meaning of it. Webster's dictionary defines an advocate as a person who argues another's case. Now, Paul said the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, and he gives an example. We don't know what God wants us to pray for. Have you had those times in your life, and I'm sure you have, if you've lived very long, that you don't know how to pray? You know something's wrong, you know something's bothering you, things come against you, and you just don't know what to pray for or how to pray. You don't know what to ask God for. And Paul said the Holy Spirit prays for us in accordance with God's will. You know God has a will for your life. He has a plan for your life. Paul said to the church at Ephesus that God planned all that out in advance before he ever created the world. He planned the plan of salvation out. That was predetermined. It was predetermined that we would be saved through the blood that Jesus Christ shed. God has these plans for our lives, and honestly, you and I don't always know them. And I think one of the biggest reasons is because it's not our plans. I heard before, if you want to make God laugh, just tell him your plans. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. And very often we'll come to God and say, this is what I'm willing to do for you. This are the gifts or the talents that I believe I have, and I'm going to commit these to you. But the problem with that is God may look at you and say, that's not at all what I have for you. That's not what I have designed for you. I told my wife years ago when I was first starting ministry, I filled in at a church in Forsyth for a friend of mine in Bible college. And her and I were on our way to the church. I said, if you'd have told me 10 years ago that I would be getting up in front of a group of people and talking, and I had to lead the song service, and I said, if you'd have told me I was going to do that, I'd have laughed at you. And said, no way. Because believe it or not, I used to be shy. I didn't like getting up in front of people talking. I didn't like playing my guitar and singing unless I was drinking. First time I got asked to do a special in the Baptist church, lady said, would you play your guitar and do a special? I said, well, I usually have a half pint of Sneaky Pete gin under my belt when I do, so you get me a half pint of gin, I'll be glad to sing a special. That wasn't a good thing to say in a Baptist church. She let me know that she didn't drink gin and they weren't going to have anybody drinking gin. I said, then you're not going to have me singing your special. But God got me over that. And the beautiful thing to me about this passage, Paul's saying, we don't always know what to pray for. And we don't. Especially when it's in God's will for us. But the Holy Spirit, he knows the deep things of God. He is the Spirit of God. And Paul told the church of Corinth, no one knows a person. Now I'm paraphrasing this, better than the spirit of the person within him. Your spirit knows things about you that no one else knows. There's things that you and I keep to ourselves that we don't want anyone else knowing. But Paul points out that the Spirit of God knows God, and he not only knows what God is thinking, he understands. Well, he is the Spirit that God has promised to give to his believers. And that Spirit knows us better than we know ourselves. Do you believe that? God said through the prophet Jeremiah, I know the heart of men. I know what's in the heart. I believe that. God says, I know what you're thinking. I know what's in your heart. He said, I know your motives. I know why you do things. And he talked to Jeremiah about the fact that we would be rewarded or punished by what's in our hearts, by what we know. I had a lot of people telling me when I first became a Christian, we believe you're called to the music ministry. You know, you just need to be music ministry. Well, I knew that wasn't God. I preferred it because nobody gets mad at the music minister. You know, the preacher, everybody gets mad at the preacher every now and again. And I never heard anybody get mad at a music minister. And I thought I'd like to be in music, but I didn't feel that was my call. And God began to work on me and began to reveal to me that he wanted me in ministry. And I ran from that for 15 years. I had all kinds of excuses. I had Moses beat. You know, Moses just said, well, I stutter and I'm not a very good speaker. For 15 years, I was laying out reasons to God why I couldn't be a minister. But God didn't care about my excuses. And I truly believe in that time that the Spirit of God was praying for me in ways I didn't know how to pray. Did you see in this text or capture that Paul said God's will is to conform us to the image of his son? I used to think that, you know, God wants to make us the best us that we can be for him, but I realized that's not it. God wants to make us just like Jesus, because we're not any use to God until we're like Jesus. We don't give him the glory until we're like Jesus. We seek our own glory. We seek our own pats on the back. We seek our own will. And so Paul said that God, his desire is to conform us into the image of his son. And there are things that are in you and I that hinder us, that block that, that we hang on to, that will not allow us to be like Christ. And this is my belief, that when Paul's talking about the Spirit praying for us according to God's will, that Holy Spirit who searches out the deep things within us, the dark things, the things that we've pushed down, maybe our attitudes, maybe it's unforgiveness or bitterness, maybe it's hate. There's things that we push down that we mask, and the Holy Spirit points it out. And Paul said he can speak to God on our behalf, because we don't know it. We may not realize it. I didn't know for a long time that I carried hatred and bitterness with me, but I did. I thought, well, I've forgiven all that. But God revealed to me one day I hadn't. I could stay away from that thing. God revealed to me one day I hadn't. You know, I was praying about something, and this person came into my mind, and I was enraged. And I said, wait a minute, I thought I forgave that. That's what I believe the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit goes, wait a minute, no, you haven't dealt with this yet. And if I don't know how to pray about that, I don't know how to deal with it. I believe that he literally prays to the Father for me and says, Father, this is the issue. And then he in turn can turn around and reveal it to us. Then it's up to us. The ball's in our court then. When God reveals something to you that offends him, that stops you from being molded into the image of Jesus Christ, then the ball's in your court as forgiveness. You have to choose to forgive. Mark Twain was not a Christian that I know of, but he wrote one of the best definitions of forgiveness I ever read. He said, forgiveness is the fragrance that the violet sheds on the heel that has crushed it. Now, I like that. You know, in the start of this, Paul talked about how everything was predetermined. God predetermined. God had things planned in advance. And I understand the scriptures to say that he has predetermined, he has made plans that you and I are going to be like Jesus. That's his goal for our lives. And that should be your goal. And it should be mine. I don't trust me. I've learned a lot about me over the years that I don't like. You know, and I don't trust me. I need to be like Jesus. I feel like Paul, I want to be completely taken over by Jesus. I don't care if people think I'm a religious fanatic or that I'm strange, because I've been strange all my life. I might as well be strange for Jesus, you know. I don't care about that. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be able to love like Jesus. I want to be able to see people the way he sees them. I'm glad he looked at me and saw something that was redeemable. I've told you, I thought I was past salvation. I thought, you know, I can't be saved, I'm not worthy. And I wasn't worthy, but God still saw something in me that he loved, and he wanted to save and he wanted to redeem. But it doesn't end at salvation. Sometimes we wished it would. You know, hey, I'm fine, God, just save me and cut me loose and I'll be fine. I'll do the rest on my own. Preachers are some of the worst people in the world for that. We get to thinking we're sufficient within ourselves. I had a preacher in Bible college one time. He said, well, if you can't put a sermon together in 30 minutes, something's wrong with you. And I thought, well, that's lazy. You know, that's just a good excuse for being lazy. But I can put hours and hours and hours in a message, and if I'm not dependent on the Holy Spirit to speak through me, I'm wasting my time and yours. because he is the Spirit of truth. He's the one who explains the word to us. He's the one that takes the word to your heart. I'm just a messenger. That's all I am. I give texts that I think God has chosen, that he wants us to have, that he wants to minister to us out of, but it's not my abilities, it's just my availability. I just say, okay, I'm going to bring this text. I pray during the week before the messages, you speak through me. You know, God, I need you to speak through me. I need you to take this word to their hearts. The Bible says that God's word will accomplish exactly what he sends it out to do. Do you believe that? Yeah, I believe that. It will accomplish exactly what he sends it out to do. But you and I have a part in it, and it's called obedience. When the Spirit of God reveals things to us that we need to put away, we need to obey that. Because I don't think God's going to take you down and force you to be sanctified, to be holy. He's not going to force that on you. You have to choose to do that. I believe in God's sovereign will. Paul talks a lot about the sovereignty of God. He determined salvation in advance before he ever prepared the world. And C.S. Lewis said it amazed him that God knew what was going to happen and he did it anyway. And that's the way I feel. When I look at the way this world's going, it's not God's fault. It's not the world he created. But he knew what was going to happen in advance, and he already had the plan of salvation put in place. God knew what was going to happen, and he went ahead and did it anyway. I think that's called love. And I believe in a free will because I believe that God wants us to love him because we want to love him. I believe that obedience works through faith, or faith works through obedience, either or, because we choose to obey God because we love him and we believe in him. And it, to me, it's the same in the work that he wants to do in my life. I'm not finished. I'm not a finished product yet. He's molding me more and more into the image of Jesus Christ, and that's what I want. I want to be so much like Jesus. Because then I'll be useful. Then I'll be able to gather into the kingdom of heaven instead of scatter. I'll be able to love the way he does. I need to love the way Jesus loves. I had a young minister tell me one time, we got to love like Jesus. And his idea of loving like Jesus was not offending anyone. You know, don't point out sin because that offends people. Well, that's not loving like Jesus. Jesus loved us so much, he told us what was wrong with us. Yeah. And you know, that wasn't very well received. And I told him, brother, nobody loved like Jesus, but they nailed him to a tree. Look what happened to Charlie Kirk. Man spoke the truth. They couldn't beat him in a debate, so they put a bullet in him. And I think we're going to see more of that, church. Especially with God's people, if we have the courage, as he did, to stand up and say no. This is right. This is wrong. You're wrong. It's what we need to learn to do. We're going to have to be more like Jesus to do that. I believe that. It also comforts me to know that when things are really weighing on me and I don't know how to pray, God doesn't sit there and say, well, when you figure it out, let me know. The Spirit of God says, Lord, this is what's going on. I shared this in Bible college one time. I was working 40 hours a week. I was going to Bible college classes at night and doing all this other stuff, and it was weighing me down, and man, I got a dark cloud hanging over me for a while. I was so depressed. And I prayed about it and said, God, I don't know what's going on. You know, bring me out of this. And if you asked me why, I'd have said, well, I guess I'm tired, but I don't know what was going on. And I was going to church one morning, and that scripture from the Psalms came up that says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And I shouted, praise God. That was the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. Yeah. I had a different attitude when I walked into the church that morning. I was glad to be there to worship the Lord. I was glad for the Bible college classes I was going through. I was glad I had a job. You know, I wasn't going, poor old me anymore. Poor me. That was the Holy Spirit. I wasn't thinking about the Word. I was feeling sorry for it. I don't understand why all this is going on. And that scripture popped in there. That's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he'll teach you the truth. If that was the truth. God said, was saying to me, you hang on, Rick. Joy's going to come. Yeah, you're in this dark place, but joy's coming. Well, it came. And when the Holy Spirit dropped that in my spirit, the joy came. And I have learned over the years that not for me to quit praying, but to trust that he's praying for me. You know, the Bible says Jesus prays for us. He intercedes for us. That's God who became a man, so he understands exactly how we feel. You and I can't go to him and say, well, you just don't understand. The Lord can say, I sure do. What do the people say now? Been there and done that? Yeah, been there and done that. I know what it's like to be tempted. I know what it's like to be grieved. I know what it's like to be depressed. Now, I don't think Jesus got too anxious about things. But the Bible says he was a man acquainted with grief and suffering. To be rejected the way he was by his own family. To go through the grief that he went through, because when he spoke the truth, it went against what the world believed, and they persecuted him for that. When he prayed in the garden, I think it's Luke's gospel that says angels came and ministered to him. Boy, I wish sometimes that would happen. You know, when I did my dad's funeral, I knew it was going to be hard for me. And I stepped up beside the casket and I looked out, and there was a lot of Christians there that I knew. And it felt like somebody come up and put their arm around me. I am not making that up. I felt literally like somebody come up and put their arm around my shoulder. I went, okay, I can do this. Maybe that was an angel. I don't know. But I know there were people praying for me. I know the Spirit of God was praying for me, and he still does, and he prays for you if you have him. If you don't have him, you don't belong to Jesus Christ. I'll tell you that right now. And I've talked to some people in the Christian churches and churches of Christ that don't believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, you better believe in it, because if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to Jesus Christ. You can't claim him as your Lord and Savior. You can't claim salvation if you don't have the Holy Spirit. Why would you not want someone that was going to pray for you like that? Who is on your side? Paul said he speaks in our defense. He advocates for us. He can go to the Father and say, this is what the problem is. And the Father will go, okay. And then if you're fortunate, he'll reveal it to you. But once he does that, you're responsible. I believe that with all my heart. There's a prayer that David prayed in Psalms 139. I want to share with you. And I think this ought to be the prayer of every Christian. David said, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. That was the first verse. Then at the last two verses, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. That ought to be our prayer. It's arrogant, church, when we get to a point that we think we've reached the point. God's lucky to have somebody like us on his side. Hey, we do it. I listen to people talk. You know, and sometimes people love to point out somebody that's not a Christian or maybe not where they should be and say, well, I'd never do anything like that. I'm glad I'm not like that person. Well, you got enough problems being you. Don't worry about that person. You had to be saved the same way anyone else has to be saved. And we need to be like David. David didn't have the attitude, I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me. You heard what he said. He said, if there's anything in me that offends you, Lord, please show me. What's that imply? I'll do something about it. I'm going to take care of this. And another spiritual blessing is you don't have to do that in your power. Paul said, if we through the Holy Spirit put to death the deeds of the body. One thing I still deal with and I have trouble with, and I'm going to be honest with you, is anger. Every time I read that in Galatians, Paul said, put away wrath. Okay, how do you do that? That ticks me off that you tell me to put away anger, and I don't know how to do that. Am I the only one who feels that way? I don't like being told not to be angry. Anger is not a sin unless it turns into bitterness. There is a righteous anger, but what's the Bible say? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And Paul said we are to put it away. How do we do that? Through the Spirit. I know you think I'm getting sidetracked, but I told you about that time that one family member really made me mad. And he said something to my mother he shouldn't have. And I said, nobody's going to talk to my mom like that. So I drove over there and I was going to deal with him. And I sensed God was saying a soft word turns away wrath. A soft word turns away wrath. I was reading the King James and that's how I remember the verse that's out of Proverbs. And I said, I'm not going over there to talk. There ain't going to be no soft talk. There ain't going to be any talk. But that scripture just kept dogging me. A soft word turns away anger. And when I got there, the first thing I said when I got to him was, look, I love you. And all that anger I had just, and I thought, this is stupid. That's the Holy Spirit. I have to give him the credit. It wasn't me. And I've learned in 41 years of following Jesus Christ that the closer I get to the light, the more flaws I see in myself. I think that's part of it, Christian. We want to be close to Jesus. We need to be close to Jesus. We need to be just like Jesus. But one of the things is the closer we get to that light, the more we see within ourselves it's not like Jesus. And we're responsible for that. When God points something out in our lives, we need to let go of it. I don't know how many times God hears the yeah, but prayers. I've been good about it. Yeah, but. Yeah, but God. Yeah, but God. Yeah, but. God said, I'm not interested in your buts. I'm interested in your souls. And you're hindering me from shaping you into the image of my son. And that's my goal for you. He understands our struggles. He understands our difficulties. He understands our pain. I know some of you in here have been hurt bad by people. Very bad. And you'll say, I'll never forget it. He's not asking you to forget it, but he is asking you to forgive. He's saying you got to forgive. Bitterness will eat you up. Bitterness is like a cancer. Paul said it'll defile us. I don't want to be defiled. I want to be like Jesus. Yeah. The Holy Spirit, to me, is one of the greatest spiritual blessings that God's given to us. And there's more than one blessing. I'm not talking about the gifts. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe they still exist because you can't separate the two. But I believe the Spirit gives the gifts as He wills, not as I will. I don't get to fill out a dream sheet and say, this is the gift I want and I won't take any other gift, because God, that's not God's plan for me or you. But I'm talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living God comes and lives within us. And Paul said he prays for you. When you don't know what to pray, he'll pray for you. What a blessing. Do you believe he prays for you? How come we have so much trouble trusting him then? We do, and my problem is I like to be in control, and if I don't know that I'm in control, then I have trouble. And I need to realize and understand, and I'm trying to learn this, let God be in control. He's got this. He's got a plan. When Adam and Eve sinned, God didn't sit there on the throne and wring his hands and go, well, now they just ruined everything. I don't know what I'm going to do now. Holy huddle. We got to have a plan B. He had it all laid out. He knew exactly what he's going to do. I want to commit my life to somebody like that. Yeah. He knows exactly what's going to happen. I was reading the other day in the Psalms, David said, Lord, you had my days numbered before you ever put me together. Wow. God knows who you are before you're ever born. He knows everything about you. I can trust somebody like that. Yeah. And the amazing thing is, he knows everything about you, but he loves you anyway. Yeah. That's the way I feel about me anyway. He prays for us when we don't know how to pray. That's one reason I think that the Lord tells us we have to learn to trust him. God doesn't set a loop and say, that's your problem, figure it out. I really think our Father says, I got this. Just trust me. That's what we need to do, church. We need to learn to trust God. I want to see this church grow. I'm trusting God for that. That doesn't mean that we sit on our blessed assurance and just think God's going to do all of it. We have our part in it too, but we have to trust God that this church will grow, that he's going to bring people here that need to be here. But you need to be ready for something. If he brings a bunch of non-Christians in here, yeah, that can be kind of uncomfortable at times. I had a guy tell me once he wanted to see this church grow with nice Christian families. I said, let's get the unbelievers in here and make nice Christian families out of them. I think that's what we're called to do, is lead them to Jesus Christ. Yeah. I'm not against nice Christian families, but I don't want to be a sheep thief. I don't want to steal sheep out of other churches, you know, just to get them to come over here. But be ready. We want to grow. We're praying for growth. I hope we're still praying for growth. But be ready. The people that God may bring in here may be a little hard for you to deal with at first. That's why you need to be more like Jesus, and I need to be more like Jesus. He sat at the table and ate with prostitutes, tax collectors, liars, thieves, but he didn't quit being who he was. That's the way I want to be. They didn't influence him. He influenced them when he sat and ate with them. God's called us to be a light to this world. He's called us to be his witnesses. And he has called us to be just like Jesus. And that needs to be our prayer. And that needs to be our heart's desire. Let me die that you may live. Would you stand with me this morning? My heart's prayer for all of us in here is that we will get a hold of the fact that God is doing a work in our lives, and it's a never-ending work, it's an ongoing work, and that we would allow him to do that work. And that we will trust that he's going to do exactly what he started out to do, that he will finish it.